Okay, let us get into the third parak. So we are in the third parak. Today we have the last few moments of Kiddush HaChodesh in the Masechta, and then the next Mishnah we get into the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah and Halachas of Shofar for the rest of the Masechta. But let's now go to the two dots on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Two dots, about six lines up from the bottom. I'm not sure which one Menachem got to, so I'll start from the first one. Re'u Bezdin Yamdu Shnayim Ye'idu Befneihem. So the Mishnah said if the entire Bezdin sees the new moon, an amazing halacha, the entire Bezdin sees it, then two out of the Bezdin has to be made in front of the rest of the Bezdin, and if they don't have time to do that and to sanctify the month and to declare Mekudesh Mekudesh, then it is not Rosh Chodesh. And even though everybody saw the moon today, the Rosh Chodesh is the next day. So ask the Gemara, Yamai, why is that? Lo tehe shmiya gedola meiriya. Seeing, hearing Mekudesh Mekudesh shouldn't be greater than seeing the new moon. And so why do you have to go through this whole process? Right? What's, didn't they see it all? It must be note that they saw it at night. They saw the new moon at night. So therefore, at night, it was not ra'ui for them to just turn around and be makadishit and be made about it, because it's an ein edus balayla, and therefore, because at the first moment it wasn't good, so for some reason, later on, even though they still haven't forgotten what they saw, but still, that's the halacha, that they're not allowed to be made anymore. And then the Mishnah says the same thing with, if you only have three people from the Bezdin, and two of them have to be made in front of the third one, and then they have to bring two other people to listen. That's the next line. Let's do the next line, and I'll make a comment. Reush losha vehin bezdin. If three people from the bezdin, three people who are a bezdin, see it, yam du shnayim yeshivu mechavareihem eitzel hayachid, and two of them are made in front of their friend, and they get two other people along with them, and they are the bezdin. This is an amazing halacha. Rabbi Chanan points out, Kovet Shi'irim in Bava Basra and Simon Shin Chaf Tes, that we're usually used to two kinds of edim. Discuss this maybe in Maseches Kedushin and other places. Two kinds of Edom. There's what we call Edi Birur, Edom that are there to be Mevarer, something that happened. I don't know if Reuven lent Shimon money, so two Edom come and clear it up for me. Reuven lent Shimon money. Edi Birur, they're Mevarer. But there's another kind of Edom called Edi Kiyum. Edi Kiyum are Edom that have to witness an event, and if they are not there, it's as if the event didn't happen. Even if we would know that it happened without these Edom. At a wedding, if there are no witnesses at a wedding, if in private Reuven gives Sarah a ring and says, Hari Amu Kadesh Asli, we can know for sure that the wedding happens. You can have a video camera. If nobody was there to witness it, so then the wedding did not happen halachically. Those are called Eidei Kiyum. B'mekayme hadavar v'kasam hadavar. They're mekayim the davar. They're not just there to tell me what happened, but they are there to make sure that there's a, as my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig used to say, they add a solemnizing presence to the event, and therefore, that's what halacha demands by certain historic and monumental events in a person's life and in the life of a Jew. So they ask Rav Chanan, what kind of edim are we talking about here? I would have thought, says Rav Chanan, what kind of edim do you need for Kiddush HaChodesh? I would have thought edi birur. That's what I would have thought, to be mevarer that they saw the new moon. Sorach lomar, it seems from this Gemara that it's not just edi birur, because the entire Sanhedrin sees the new moon. Everybody sees the new moon, and all of a sudden you say, no, you have to say Mekudesh Mekudesh. You have to wait. Even though you saw it, it's not good enough. So it says Rabbi Chanan, it seems to be Exeris Akasov, that what you have here is not just Eidei Birur. I don't know if it's Eidei Kiyum, doesn't use those words, but it's something like Eidei Kiyum, that you have to go through the process of Eidus. Mizem Mukrach, Dafilu Hamaisa Emes, Ein Lasos, Ela Beidus Kesheira. To Usher Lipsok Din, below Eidim. And therefore, this is a Chiddush about the Eidus of Kiddush HaChodesh. So even if it's at night, and even if everybody sees it. Continuing the Gemara, Amai, the second two dots, Hakanami Namalotesh Migdola Miriya, asked the Gemara, in the first case, was the case where the entire Sanhedrin sees the new moon, then the next, and then we said, that case is talking about where they saw it at night. That's why they cannot turn around. But if three people saw it, the same thing happens, then two of them are testifying in front of the third one, and two other people have to sit with the third one in order to be a Bezdin. Ask the Gemara the same question as before. Amai Hakanami Namalotesh Migdola Miriya, let us say, that hearing is no greater than seeing, and therefore if they saw it, it doesn't work, so why should Shmiah be any better? And if Shmiah works, then Re'iyah should be even better. And if you want to give the same answer as we just gave, that here too is talking about a case of nighttime, Hainu Hach. So then what's the difference between the two cases? Why does the Mishnah give me two cases, the whole Sanhedrin or three people? It's the same halacha. Says the Gemara, Seifa Itzricha Leih. Now the Chiddush is, in the second case, De'ina Yochan Neman Al De'atzmo. The Chiddush in the Seifa case is that one person is not good enough to be a judge by Kiddush HaChodesh. You need three. The Sakadai Dachamino, because I might have said, Ho'il Vitanya Didim Amunis Bishlosha, because I have a Bryce in Mesechah Sanhedrin, which says that generally monetary cases need a bezin of three, Didim Amunis Bishlosha, first three words of the Mesechah Sanhedrin, V'imhaya Mumcha L'Rabim Donafilu Yechidi, but there are cases where we allow one special Mumcha person to accept testimony in a Dinei Mamonos case, so Hachanami Dikdashei B'Yachidi. So I might have thought that just like a Mumcha L'Rabim is acceptable in certain Dinei Mamonos cases, so too by Kiddush HaChodesh. If you have a real Mumcha, so then you could also accept him, have him accept testimony in a singular way, just him, by Kiddush HaChodesh. Kamash Malan, not. Kamash Malan, we say no, there's no such concept or parallel of Mumcha L'Rabim when it comes to Dinei Mamonos. V'hema Hachanami, how do you know? Maybe you do. Maybe you should. What's the source that you cannot accept one person as, you can't have one person be a Dayan in the case of Kiddush HaChodesh like you can by Dinei Mamonos? Answers the Gemara, Ein lecha mumcha l'rabim b'Yisrael Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu. The greatest mumcha in the world is Moshe Rabbeinu, and even by him, v'kamar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and even by him it says, Ad yika Aaron b'hadach, until Aaron HaKohen is with you, you cannot accept testimony. Desiv, as the Pasuk says, v'yomer Hashem al Moshe al Aaron, v'eretz Mitzrayim le'mar, ha'chodesh hazeh lochem. Right, it says to Moshe and to Aaron in Eretz Mitzrayim. So you see, he's not just talking about to Moshe, he needs Aaron with him, and that proves that you can't have a Mumcha L'Rabim, one person do it. So you have Moshe and you have Aaron, so that's only two. So Tosfos adds on, and we know there's a principle called Ein Bezdin Shakul. You cannot allow to have an even number in a Bezdin, except for you always add on one more. So you have two plus one equals three minimum. So you can't have a Mumcha L'Rabim, that's the Chiddush of the second half of the case. Yeah. Lashon of a ne'eman by a dayan. Okay, so ne'eman doesn't just mean that we trust him, it just means, you know, this type of case. Right, ne'eman is an unusual lashon to use for a dayan. So Rav Shechter quotes a machlokas achronim, in the sugya of mumcha l'rabim, that sometimes in dinim amnis you accept one singular person, rather than having to require three. There is a machlokas achronim how to understand that in the mumcha l'rabim. He says, do we say that a mumcha l'rabim is a stand-in for a bezdin? You do need a bezdin b'dinim amnis, always. But some chayes, a mumcha l'rabim could function as a bezdin in dinim amnis. That's one way the achronim understand it. Or do you say, no, that maybe dinim amnis, if you have mumcha l'rabim, you don't need a bezdin. Those are two ways to understand mumcha l'rabim. Does he function as a bezdin, or do you not need a bezdin sometimes? So he thinks, and he quotes other achronim, that assume our gemara is a proof that he functions as a bezdin. Not that he takes the place of a bezdin. Not that it's instead of. Why? Because what does Agamara say? That there's a havamina, what did we just read? There's a havamina that you should apply mumcha l'rabim even by Kiddush HaChodesh. Kamash Malan, you don't. But what's the havamina? If mumcha l'rabim was not a bezdin, but he was just somebody other, of course you need a bezdin by Kiddush HaChodesh. That's all the b'koros. You need a bezdin for Kiddush HaChodesh. So it must be, that's the havamina. Because he functions as a bezdin, he's also good for Kiddush HaChodesh. Kamash Malan, you don't know what the Kamash Malan is. What's the Maskana? Maybe the Maskana changes the whole thing. Maybe the Maskana is that, no, Mumcha L'Rabim is not a Bezdin. That's why it doesn't work here. Or it sounds like more that he is a Bezdin, but still is a Xeris HaKasif here. That you need three people, Mamish. Okay, either way, this Gemara might be important for how you view Mumcha L'Rabim in the world of Dini Mamish. Okay, last line. L'Memra. So what do we see from this Gemara? De'ed nasa dayan. From the cases in the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Let's take the second case in the Mishnah. You have three people that saw the moon, and what do? Two people turn around and become witnesses, testify to the third one. They get two other people to sit down with the third one, and that's how it works. So it sounds like aid nasa dayan. And the way Rashi here explains it, the last Rashi in the Amud, an aid, somebody who's fit to be an aid, right, Misha Roi Leos Eid Bedavar Nasa Dayan. Sounds like from our Gemara, the principle of Eid Nasa Dayan, that somebody who could be an aid could switch and become a judge. Lema Masisu Delok Rabbi Akiva. So if that's true, maybe our Mishnah is against Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Tanya, because Rabbi Akiva says, Sanhedrin Shero Echad Shorakas Anefesh, if an entire Bezdin witnesses a murder, Sanhedrin witnesses Reuben kill Shimon, Miksas Anasu Eidim, Miksas Anasu Dayanim, Div Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, some of them become the judges and some of them are the witnesses. That's fine. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Kula nasan edim ve'enei nasa dayin. Rabbi Kiva says, no, they all have to become witnesses. Because once you witness something and you're fit to be a witness, you no longer can become a judge. Again, this is a huge sugya of enei nasa dayin. But the Gemara here is applying the principle of enei nasa dayin to a ra'ui lahaid na'asa dayin or not. So the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Kiva's opinion is, the second that you see, you witness an event, and you can become a witness, you can no longer be a judge in that case. So is our Mishnah against Rabbi Akiva, because our Mishnah says that the Eidim who witness Kiddush HaKadosh can turn around and become judges, and Rabbi Akiva seems to say not in the case of murder. So Gemara says no, maybe there's a difference between the two cases. Afilu Tamei Rabbi Akiva, maybe even Rabbi Akiva agrees with our Mishnah. Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rabbi Akiva Hasam, when does Rabbi Akiva there say that if you witness a murder, you can no longer be a judge in the case, Ella Bedine Nefashis? That's only by Dine Nefashis, by life and death cases. Why? The Torah says, right, that you have a special din to judge an Eda. There are many halachas by Dine Nefashis cases where we try to save the guy. We do everything we can to try to save the person. Kivan, the chazyuha, the katal nashon, the masi chazulai zchusa. But says Rabbi Akiva, if you witness somebody kill somebody, there's no way you're going to be able to be mezake the guy. You're not going to be objective. That's what Rabbi Akiva says, eini nasa dayin in that case. If the Sanhedrin sees a murder, none of them could be the witnesses. Because there's no way they're going to be able to be objective and be mezake and look for zchuyas of that guy. So that's why specifically over there, he says, eini nasa dayin. But over here, in our case of Kiddush HaChodesh, you don't have that reason, so therefore maybe Rabbi Akiva would be Moda in our case, that Eid Nasa Dayan, somebody who is Royal Ahayid, can be a Dayan.
Maybe that's another proof that...
I just went for the water. I guess, yeah. There's another proof that the Eid of Kiddush HaChodesh is Eid Kiyum. Why? Eid Debir, you wouldn't be objective here either. Why? Because you saw something. You might say, once you see anything. Okay, you might say that murder is something extreme. Meaning, right, like we started off this year today, that Rebbe Eid Kiyum, even if you know for sure, you know, you have to be there to add the presence of the witnesses. But you're right, it might be another proof, fit well, to the fact that the Eid of Kiddush HaKadosh or Eid Kiyum, not just Eid Debir. Okay, next Mishnah. So we're up to second half of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Now we start Hilchos Shofar and Inyanim of the Yantiv of Rosh Hashanah for the rest of the Masechta. Says the Mishnah. Right, I think Menachem told me a thought that why is it that the Perek didn't start here? Why the Perek start with the Mishnah about Kiddush HaChodesh? Why didn't it finish off? It's not like Rabbi Yudanasi Dafka put this Mishnah that we just did in the third Perek. Why don't you have the first two program about this? Like in Hilchos Masechet Megillah. The first two program about Megillah, the next two program about Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, nice and orderly. And Dafka here, specifically, the Mishnah of Kiddush HaChodesh is put at the beginning of the third parak. So Menachem said B'Shem. Somebody? He said B'Shem, B'Shmo. It's Dafka put here to show that even with all the power and awesomeness of Rosh Hashanah, we still control when it is. We still say, you know, Makudish Makudish, it's still up to us to decide when Alef Tishrei is. Once that happens, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge. Malchus. But we decide, even, it shows the Koach of Am Yisrael, so even in the Perek about Rosh Hashanah, we started off by declaring Makudish Makudish, it's all based on a Klal Yisrael. Okay, very nice. Kol HaShofar is Kshirim Chutz Mishal Parah. Says the Mishnah, any shofar is kosher. You're allowed to use any shofar, except a shofar of a cow. Mipneshihu Keren, says the Mishnah, because that is a keren, that is a horn, that is not called a shofar. Amar Rav Yossi, v'alo kol shofar nikru keren. Rav Yossi argues, says, what do you mean? All shofars are called keren. So therefore, why should there be a uniqueness to para? Shneamar b'mshoch b'keren ayovel by Har Sinai. It says, I'm sorry, this is by Yericho. B'mshoch b'keren ayovel. It says when I sound the keren of the horn of the animal. So then you'll know that's when the walls are going to come down. That's when you start banging and making all the noise. So you see, keren is used outside of the realm of para. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi argues and says there's no problem. Halacha lemaisa, which by the way, I mentioned the halacha lemaisa before we get to the reason. So we pass from the three different levels in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Tav Kuf Pei Vav, the best shofar to use is the shofar of an ayel, which we're going to have on Amud Beis by the Shem in the Mishnah. Shofar of a ram. The next best is that all shofars are kosher, all shofars besides an ayel. And then the third level, the shofar shalpara, we pass on like the Chachamim, that a shofar shalpara is pasal. That's what it says in Sibetav Kuf Peivat. The big machlokas we've shown him is when it says all shofars are kosher. So the machlokas we've shown him here in our Mishnah. What about shofars from non-kosher animals? But is that because the Gemara is going to give various reasons why parah is a problem. But none of them are going to apply to non-kosher animals. What about a shofar of some other type of non-kosher animal? A moose. A shofar of a moose. You know, assuming it's hollow and you could get a shofar out of it. So is that okay? So the Ran here has the suffix. The Chlishi Ran here says, it says, Kol ha-shofaris ksheiros klus bishal parah. All shofars are kosher. So it sounds like, says the Ran, that all would be good, but he says, Efshar, it's possible, Dafka Pitahor, and Avotfeim Lo. Maybe it's possible only by kosher animals. Why? Why would I make such a limit? Based on the Gemara we had back in Masech HaShabbos, where the Gemara says regarding tefillin, where do you get the cloth from? From tefillin, the Gemara has a lashon, Lo Hukshiru Lemelecha Shamayim, Ela Shal Behema Tahora Bilvad. Melecha Shamayim requires Behema Tahora. So what does that mean, Melech HaShemayim? Is that only a din hilchos tefillin? Is that only for the cloth of tefillin? What about for the ritzuos of tefillin? What about for the boxes of tefillin? What about for the cyrus that you'd use to bind the box of tefillin closed? There are many other halachas where we use different parts of an animal. How far do you take this principle? So our Gemara is not clear. So the Ran here has a suffix about whether it applies to shofar or not. So the Shulchan Aruch is silent. He doesn't tell us. The Ramah then comes along and says, V'chein shofar mi behemet tmei apostle. Ran, Perek Gimel, should be to Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramah quotes our Ran, says it's possible. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, though, that it's not so clear that it should be possible. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah quotes here, V'katz v'achronim, she'ein din zeh barur, this is not clear, and therefore, if you don't know any other shofar, except the shofar of a non-kosher animal, lo use it, yiskabo, achein lo yivarech alav. The Shemu pasul midinah. So that's the halacha l'maisa. If somebody only has a shofar from a non-kosher animal, Baruch Hashem, nowadays, we live in an affluent society, we have plenty of shofars, but if somebody lives in a place or only has a shofar from a non-kosher animal, halacha l'maisa, he uses it, but he does not make a bracha because of the machlokas achronim here about shofars from non-kosher animals. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. So now we get in, yeah? Beficha, but a Muslim beficha, right? So then, right. So therefore, the question is, mutter to eat. So this doesn't go in your mouth anyway. You're saying the shofar doesn't go in your mouth, but Muslim beficha just means a general type of animal, general type of. Okay. But the question is that a type or is that a? Somebody asked me last week or on Shabbos, what happens if it's a kosher animal that wasn't shechted properly? That's also a discussion in the poskim. The question is, how lamaisa do you have to have the simone kashrus? Okay, so says the Mishnah. So the Mishnah has a machlokas about shofar shapara. So says the Gemara, Shapar Kam Rabbi Yossi. Didn't Rabbi Yossi have a good taina? Rabbi Yossi says all shofars are called Karen. So what are the Rabbanan talking about? Hey, this only a parah shofar is only called a Karen and not a shofar. So didn't he have a good taina? So our answer is no. For Rabbanan, kol shofar is ikru shofar v'ikru Karen. Really, all shofars are called both. So that's what that pasuk is referring to. De para Karen ikri shofar lo ikri. But of a cow or of a bull, it's only called a Karen and not a shofar. Tichsiv, as the pasuk says in Zos HaBracha by Yosef, Bechor Shoro Hader Lo, Vekarni Re'im Karnav. We're talking about a shor and para, the same type of animal, right? Male, female. And therefore you see the word Karen is used. So that's the Rabbanan's taina back. So really, by para, it's only called a Karen and not called a shofar. Says the Rabbi Yossi back one side. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Omer lecha davar nami ikri shofar. No, par is also called a shofar. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, v'seitiv l'ashem mishor par. Pasuk is talking about that David HaMelech says, my tefillah is more valuable to you than a shofar. It says mishor par, from an ox cow. So the Gemara darshes, imshor lo mapar v'impar lo mashor. What does that mean, an ox cow? Is it an ox or is it a cow? So the drasha is, elamai shor par mi shofar. We darshen that it's referring to shofar, and the pasuk of the pasuk is shor and par. So you see the word shofar having to do with par also. So that's Rabbi Yossi's taina back, that no, I do not agree that par is different, because the paras, a horn is also called shofar and Karen. So we're back to the problem. So for Rabbanan, again, how do the Rabbanan defend themselves that parah is different? No, they say that pasuk that you darshan, we darshan differently. We darshan differently, and therefore there is no source of the word parah, of the word shofar when it comes to parah. For Rabbanan and the Rav Masna, they darshan like Rav Masna, the Amr of Masna, my shor par. What does shor par mean? Shehu gadol kapar. It is as big like a par. What does that mean? Rashi explains they're darshaning the first par that was created in history, that all animals were created. We had this earlier also on Daf Yud Aleph. All animals were created mature and old by Maisa Bereishis. And that's what this means. Shehu Gadol Kippar. The first shore was Gadol Kippar. On the first day that it was created, it was Bekomaso and it was Bitsivyono. And that's what the drasha means. And therefore the Maskana This all is approach number one. What is the shita of the Rabbanan? Because para is not called a shofar, it's only called a carrot. By the way, scholars point out that one of the ways that we defend, you know, how the world cannot be 5 million years old. You see all these fossils, you see all these things, other than millions of years old. How can it be 5,700 and whatever? So one of the approaches is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an old world. He created a world that was already mature. He created a world with animals that were not growing. Adam HaRishon was a grown man, Chazal say. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that was already old, then there's no raya against that. Right, just because you have this raya that this tree and this is millions of years old. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it that way. There is no proof in science. And I saw on the first page of the Codex Judaica, he makes this point. There is no proof in science that the world was not created old. You can't disprove that. Right? You can't prove that the world wasn't created 2 weeks ago. Well, based on our memory, maybe we created with memory. So it's just, you know, there's no way to disprove that. But again, that's one of the approaches how we could explain Chazal, and how our belief in the world is based on this Chazal, Shu Gadol Kapar, that everything was created mature and everything was created old, and therefore that's how there is no proof. What we believe is 5,700 and what are we in now? 67 years old. So the Hebrew year is not changing too soon. Right? Only so even though we had that last week, we had the Apta Rav about coming into Shul, Shana Tova tomorrow. But either way, it's still Tavshin Samach Zion is still staying. Okay, this is all number one reason why the Rabbanan us say par is no good. Number two, we're gonna have three reasons in the Gemara. Number two, famous reason, Ula Amar Hayinu Taima de Rabbanan. This is the reason that you're not allowed to use a shofar from a para. Kid Rav Chizda, the Amar Rav Chizda, Bevnei Ma'in Kohen Gadol Nikras Bebigdei Zahav Lefnayv Lefnim. It's called Rav Chizda. You can't use a shofar from a para for the same reason that Rav Chizda says that a Kohen Gadol does not wear his beautiful garments into the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur. Right? You would think the Kohen Gadol, he has four special vestments above and beyond what a Kohen Hevyot wears. So Dafka Yom Kippur, he should be dressed to the gills. That should be the day that he wears everything. He takes off his tzitz, he takes off his choshen, he takes off the golden clothing. Why? Because the prosecuting attorney cannot be a defense attorney, and therefore this gold reminds the HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Egel, and therefore you cannot wear it inside. Much to talk about. Yes? So we'll talk about that in a second. Just wait a minute. So first of all, there are a number of places this principle comes up. You'll see on the side in a few places. But there are a couple of places where Rishonim quote this principle even more than when Chazal quote it. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes two of them. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos which says that a Kohen Shaharagas HaNefesh, a Kohen that committed murder, is not allowed to be Nosik Kapayim. It's not allowed to Duchen. Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar. Right, that's the halacha. That's what Tosfos says. We discussed a tshuva a couple of years ago from the Tshuvas Mimamakim, Rav Ashri, tshuvas from the ghetto, where he discusses Rahman al-Islam, a Kohen who had to defend himself who killed a Nazi. Could he duchen? Mom, you think it doesn't come up halacha l'maisa? That he has a whole 10-page tshuva about the what? Right, soldiers. Let's say a Kohen's a soldier. Again, somebody, we're not talking about a murderer here. We're talking about somebody out of self-defense. Is it by definition, if you have blood on your hands, you know, David HaMelech couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash. He had blood on his hands. What? It was all Melchames Mitzvah. Or do you say, no, it's Dafka because of the Aveira. That's one example, Tosfos quotes in Yevamos. Another example, the Ramban in Yevamos. I think it's in, no, I'm sorry, the Ramban Masechta Shabbos, in the Har Sinai Gemara, on Pei Zayin, Pei Vav. So the Ramban there quotes, how do you know, the Gemara there says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy that Moshe broke the Luchos. Where did Chazal get this from? How do we really know that Hashem was happy when Moshe broke the Luchos? Maybe he was upset. What did he say to Psalacha? I'm not giving you a second one, you gotta do it yourself. How did Chazal know that Yashakocha Sheshibarta? So the Ramban suggests, because of the next pasuk over there, he says, take the broken Luchos v'samtam ba'aron. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to put the Shevet Luchos in the Aron. Says the Ramban, "Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar." What are the broken Luchos doing in the Aron for? He says that's going to remind them of the Chet Egel. So the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu said to put it in the Aron proves that it was happy because Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar, and otherwise he would not have been happy having them there. So that's Tosfos in Yevamos and Ramban and Shabbos, two examples where you apply this principle in the Rishonim where we don't even find it in Chazal. Somebody else had their hand up. No. Okay, good. So let's continue. This relates to Yisrael's question just now. There is, if you look at the Pesukim in the beginning of Parsha Shmini, Beginning of Parsha Shmini is the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim and the Karbanos brought on the Yom HaShmini on the day of the Miluim. So one of the Karbanos they are brought, it says, is, the Pasuk says, Kach Lacha Egel Ben Bakar, Lachatos. That's the second Pasuk in Parsha Shmini. So Rashi quotes there, why are you bringing an Egel? To be Mechaper on Maisa Egel. So ask the Mizrahi, and that's the old Mefarshim on Rashi, but what about Eka Deganasa Sanegar? Or even more, even deeper, right? Paraduma, right? Look at the first, the beginning of Paraduma, the beginning of Parshas Chukas. Paraduma, we know there are many Chazals. It's to be mechaber the Maisa Egel. So what do you mean, in kateganasa sanegar? How can you use the para dafka? So the Mizrahi says, oh, you know what the answer is? Because we're about to have it in a minute. It's only in the Kodesh Kodashim that it's a problem. The Gemara's going to say that in a minute. But after the Kodesh Kodashim, there's not a problem. That's one answer. But the Maharal and the Gur Aryeh here, and I saw the Aruch Lanera on our daf, also gives the same exact answer. There's a big difference between the Para Aduma and the case by the Timachar and Maisa Egel versus the Argamar. What's the difference? There's a difference whether the Avodah that you're doing is dafka coming to be Mechaper. If what you are doing is dafka to bring a Kapara for that Avera, of course, it might even be better to use the exact object that you did the Avera with. If you steal something, you have to do return the exact object. If you are getting kapara, if the avodah that you're doing is meant to bring kapara for a certain aveira, so then it's for sure better to use the same type of animal. Because that's real tshuva. The same animal, the same person, the same situation. What's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is not about the egel. Yom Kippur is about all aveiras. The miluim is, right? If something is about something else, we won't get a kapara for all our aveiras. And dafka, then we're going to be mazkir, the chayta egel, that's when it's inappropriate to use a para or an egel. But if dafka, I'm doing something because I want Hashem to remember it and to show that I'm doing tshuva, then of course you do an egel, of course you bring a para aduma. That's exactly the point of the avoda. So that's what the Maharal here says on that Rashi at the beginning of Shmini, and that's what the Aruch Laner here says on Ardaf. Okay, two answers how that works. Okay, Enka Neganasa Sanegar. So that's why you can't use a shofar of a para, and you can't use the gold. The Kohen Gadol does not wear gold on the way in. Ask the Gemara below, is this principle true? V'ha'ika dampar. We know the Kohen Gadol takes the blood of the par and goes into the Kodesh Kodashim and does some sprinklings. So the blood of the cow is there. So isn't that a problem? The Gemara said, no, hova ishtini. Once it's changed, meaning it's not a cow anymore, it's blood. So therefore, it is not a problem. Vayika aron v'kapores v'kruv. What do you mean, sitting in the Kodesh Kodashim all year? You have kruvim, you have an aron, you have plenty of gold there. Isn't that a problem? No, the problem is when we are makriv something during our avoda, those are stationary items. That's not a problem. Only when we try to come close to Hashem using gold, that's when it's a problem. So what about the golden shovel that we carry the ketores in? So that's also a problem. We're moving it. So no, it only applies to something that we are trying to beautify ourselves with. So the golden clothing. The vestments, that's a problem. But mamash, something that you do the avoda with is not a problem. So again, it's only something that is moving, only something that we are wearing. So we'll get to that in a second. V'ika big day zahav mibachutz. So what about the big day zahav outside the Kodesh Kodashim? How can he do the avoda? Right, we learned the Mesechus Yuma. He keeps switching. Big day zahav, big day lovin, big day zahav, big day lovin. So he does the avoda, the big day zahav, all day, just not inside the Kodesh Kodashim. The Gemara says, mibifnim ka'amrinan. You're right, there is a higher standard in the Kodesh Kodashim. And therefore, that's why the only problem is going to be wearing something that is there to beautify us, mi bifnim. Ask the Gemara, shofar na mi bachutzu. What do you mean? Shofar is also outside. So why is shofar a problem? That's not in the Kodesh Kadashim. Famous line, kivon de lizikaron hu, ki bifnim dami. No, because shofar is mazkir, us, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has a special element to it, and it's as if we're in the Kodesh Kodashim. We'll talk about more about that in a second. But first, Menachem's question, and that is, the Gemara just said that in order to be a problem of Eichayir Nasas and Eigar, it has to be something that is moving, something that you are wearing. So what about shofar? You're not wearing shofar, right? So why do you have to come up to the answer of, it's like you're in the Kodesh Kodashim? Pasha, just say, you're not wearing it. Says my focus, Rashi Tosus. Rashi here says, even though you're right, Rashi says, even though you're not wearing it, still, it's kibifnim, it can like jump a level. It can like jump a level, and therefore it is a problem. Tosfos, in Tosfos Chote, Tosfos says, no, look what he says. V'gabi shofar misna'en nami bekolt kiaso. you are also kind of being clothed in the sound of the shofar. We know the mitzvah of shofar is the sound, not the tzkiyah. That's why you can use the shofar shel gazel, because ein b'kol din gazel. So the shofar, you are being clothed in the sound of shofar. And the Ritva here also says the same thing. It doesn't link it beferish, but it connects. This shofar is being meratza you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the Ritva we had in Masechta Sukkah two times that says the principle of mitzvah abba b'avera only applies to mitzvos that are meant to bring you closer to Hashem. Like lulav, like carbon, like shofar. Right, so that's why we assume if shofar was about the shofar itself, so then you would have a problem with mitzvah b'avera. But anyway, the shofar, it's a special type of mitzvah. You are clothed in the sound of the shofar, Tosfos says, and that's why you had to come up with to the answer of kivan lo zikaron hu kibifnim dummy. Yeah. It's talking about the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, but l'chore it might apply to the shofar of Yom Kippur also. But the question is that the Lizikaron Asi? That one is for Shiluach Avadim. So it might not be Lizikaron, so therefore you might not say it's the same thing. There's a lot we spoke about in the past, we touched on a number of times, and that is the idea that shofar is a form of tefillah. This is one of the biggest rayas. What does it mean, Kizikaron, Kibifnim Dami? What does it mean, Kibifnim Dami? So some of Farshim explained that we know that when we daven, we're supposed to see ourselves, as Gemara and Bracha, we're supposed to see ourselves as if we're in the Kodesh Kodashim. We're sitting in front of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Kodesh Kodashim. When we take our three steps forward, we're there. So just like there, we're in the Kodesh Kodashim. Shofar, again, as a parallel to tefillah, it's as if we are in the Kodesh Kodashim, and that's what it means here. Kibim Lizikaron, Kibifnim Dami. That's what the Ritva here says. The Ritva says, Beferish, this is a form of tefillah. The Ritva here says, "Hi shofar kimen to the zikaron asi ulahachlis tefillasin shel Yisrael lefrei lefnim kilefnim dami." We're going to have an amid beis that the shape of the shofar should parallel the shape of a person in davening. Number two, number three, we blow shofar during davening. We don't do any other mitzvah during Shemona Esrei. That's the biggest raya that shofar is a form of tefillah, but it's just a tefillah without words. We mentioned in the past, I mentioned two ideas. You know, why do we use this shofar? Why do we daven with the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? We daven on Rosh Hashanah, we have a tefillah without words. Why is it? So we mentioned two ideas. Number one, both from Rav Soloveitchik. One idea is that there's a Gemara in Brachas that says that Rabbi Chanina was once in shul, and there was a chazan that went up to be the chazan in shul. And the chazan gets up to say chazar the shaz, and he says, "Okay, I got the Rav Anora," and he doesn't stop. He says, "Ha'aziz, ha'pachad," all these new adjectives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Chanina is listening, he says, "Oh, sounds very nice." And when he finally finishes, he says, "You finished? You finished praising God? You said everything? Said everything?" He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You can't say everything. It's impossible. It's impossible to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad infinitum. So you say what Chazal told us to say. That's it. And this is all we'll do because it's impossible really to finish." So he was very upset at that person who became the Chazan. So based on that idea, we know that we can never finish talking to Hashem. We can never finish asking for everything we need. We can never finish thanking Him for what we need. We can never finish doing any praising Him. So at least on one day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, we use certain words, and then we kind of say, we blow shofar after every bracha of Machi, Zacharias, and shofars. It's as if to say, dot, dot, dot. The shofar is, you know, you finish for us. We can't finish. So, you know, we daven what we're supposed to daven, and then we have dot, dot, dot. That's one idea why we have a shofar without words. The other one is that we mentioned, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, and that is, sometimes we don't know what we're davening for is really proper and appropriate. Sometimes we daven for things, and you know it's not good for us. I really want this job and this position, and if I don't get it, it's going to be terrible. But Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that it's not good for me. Sometimes we can be davening for something, and it's really not in our best interests. So at least on the first day of the year, we daven, and then we tell Kadosh Baruch Hu, we blow shofar. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. We're not exactly sure 100% what we want. We don't want to take any chances today. So we blow shofar, a tefillah without words, in order to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you fill in the blank. So either the shofar is the dot, 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 or it's the blank for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fill in. Those are two ideas behind the shofar without words. Okay, just one final point. The Ritva here says, what about wearing a talus with a golden atara? What about that? Talus mitsuyetzes, shibuz heves, mutzu, you're allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur. Because that's like kalachutz dami. That doesn't go into the Kodesh Kodashim, but says that's, never saw golden ataras, silver ataras. But he says talus musheves, right? Golden ataras, he says, that's not a problem, don't worry about it. Okay, let's continue. Vaha says, so now this was all number two. Why do the Rabbanan pasul the shofar of a para? Because in kadega nasa sanekar. He asked the Gemara about Tanu Reishu Karen Kalamar. Didn't the Mishnah give a different reason? The Mishnah says because it's a Karen. Didn't say in kadega nasa sanekar. Chadav od kalamar. It's two reasons. Chadav de kadega nasa sanekar. One reason is because the in kadega nasa sanekar, the ode, and the second reason is Mibeshu Karen. Meaning it's two reasons given by the Rabbanan. For Rabbi Yossi Amalacha, what about Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi, who allows the shofar of a para, so how does he defend himself? The comrade, Inka Deganasa Sanegar, that which you say, Inka Deganasa Sanegar, Hani Mila Bifnim, that only applies to the Kodesh Kadashim. The high shofar, Mibachutsu. So Rabbi Yossi takes away all the drushes that we have on Rosh Hashanah. It's not like you're in the Kodesh Kadashim. No, it's the shofar is a kilachutz, and therefore there's no problem of Inka Taker. Utuk Amr Breshihu Karen. What about the other aspect that is called a Karen? As he said before, Kodesh Shofar is Nami Ikru Karen. Rabbi Yossi believes that all shofars are called Karen, and therefore there's no difference between a para and other animals. Why don't your Rabbanan use it as... The shofar, the Befar should talk about that. Why? Because there it's they're talking about an ayil, and it's called shofar shel ayil there, right? What does it say over there? It says, what was Nechaz Basvach? The Balkori, a couple of Balkoris here. What? Karen, a Karen. There's, right, so they ask, why it is in that pasuk quoted that a Karen is referred to other animals? But it's not, wouldn't it be, I don't think it's that, why do you quote that pasuk instead of another pasuk? I'm not sure. Somebody asked that question. I don't remember who. Okay, number three. Abaya Amar, a third reason why the Rabbanan say a shofar of a para is a problem. Hayin tamayin Rabbanan, shofar Amar Rahmana v'lo shnayim v'shlosha shofaras. The halach is you have to blow a shofar and not a double or triple shofar. V'had para and the shofar of a para, kivin dekoy gildi, because it grows in layers, mischazi kishayim v'shlosha shofaras. It looks like two or three shofars. And therefore, it's a pasul shofar. Again, we ask, didn't the Mishnah give a different reason for the psul? Why is it that this is a third reason? So, chad of okamar, again, we say really it's both. Chad of the shofar achadam rachmano, lushtaim lushot shofaros. Reason number one why it's possible is because it's really a double or triple shofar, and we need a singular one. V'od mebeshu karen. And the second reason is because it's a Karen. And Rabbi Yossi, Amalachar, Rabbi Yossi again would counter. That claim which you say that it's two or three, it's not one. No, I argue on that. Because they're all attached, so what if it appears like two or three? It's all attached. And therefore it's all called one shofar. Really, I hold, says Rabbi Yossi, all shofars are called a Karen. Period. So we have three different reasons why the Rabbanan, why the Tanakhama says a shofar of a para is pasul, and Rabbi Yossi counters each of those reasons. Rabbi Yossi says it's kosher. Period. So my mash with the high yovel elisha de dichrahu. This is the next piece. How do we know that the word yovel is a reference to a dichra, a reference to a ram, to a male animal? Where do we know that from? So we're going to have a whole gemara here, the next 15, 20 lines, where we weren't sure what a word meant, and therefore we go to the ame haaretz. We just go out to the land and find out and learn from the ame haaretz. So this Gemara might be based on a statement of the Shloha Kadosh, where the Shloha Kadosh says, "Shecholom lilmod pirush hamilos milashonos acherim." You could always, if you want to know what a Hebrew word is, sometimes you can learn it from people talking in another language. Why? She'ein l'chaloshon, she'ein meurav bo ezo tevos milashon hakodesh. There is no language that is not based in some way on lashon hakodesh. Maybe this is because the world was created by Lashon HaKodesh. Right? Rashi quotes by my Isha, Kimi Ish, Lukachazos, Rashi quotes, the world was never by Lashon HaKodesh. That was the first language in the world. So based on that, the Shloha Kodesh says every language has some ingredients of Lashon HaKodesh, and maybe that's the basis for the following Gemara. So the Gemara says, how do you know that the word Yovel means Dichra? Ditanya, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Kshalakti la'arvia, when I went to Arabia, Hayikon l'dichra yuvla. They used to call a ram, they used to call him a yovel. Right? And that's how that proves it. The Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kshalakti la'galya, Arkon l'nida galmuda. Rabbi Kiva says, when I went to Galya, they used to call Nida galmuda. Galmuda means alone. My galmuda, gamula dami baila. She is alone and separated from her husband. The Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kshalakti la'afriki. When I went to Africa, Hayikon l'ma kasita. They used to call money kasita. L'may nafkamina, what does this help us? L'may nafkamina, what do I learn from this? L'frushi, in order to know Pshan of the Pasuk, by Yachayisara, mea kasita, by Ephron, to araisa mea donkey. So it means 100 coins, because that's how I know kasita means money. Amar Rebbe, kshalakti l'krachi ayam, Rebbe says, when I went to the islands, hayukarin l'mechira kira. They used to call a sale a kira. They used to leave out the mem. L'may nafkamina, l'frushi, again, to learn Pshan of the Pasuk, asher karisi li, which is this week's parasha, shekarisi li, that I bought from Ephron. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, kshalachti l'tchum kan nisharia, hayikaran l'kala, they used to call a kala ninfi, ul'tarnagol sechvi, they used to call a rooster a sechvi. L'kala ninfi mikra, what's the pasuk that also alludes to a kala being ninfi? Yefei nof misos kal aretz. You see, the Lashon nof means beautiful. That pasuk is talking about Yerushalayim, but that's what we know means beautiful and could be referred to a kala. Ul'tarnagol sechvi, and a rooster is called a sechvi, like we say in davening every morning. Amar Yehuda Amar Ravi Bais Ema Arbi Shimon Levi Mikra. What pasuk is the teaches me this? Mi Shas Batuchos Chachma. Who puts inside wisdom? O Minasal Nasechri Vina. Who gives a rooster wisdom? Mi Shas Batuchos Chachma Elu Klayos. What is that referring to? The kidneys, right? They thought this is a medical historical fact. They used to think the kidneys were the source of wisdom. So that's the pasuk. O Minasal Nasechri Vina is a tarnagol. Let's talk about a rooster. So you learn it from a pasuk and you learn it from a story. Okay, next piece. Levi ikla lu asro. Levi once came somewhere. Asagav l'kamei. The person comes to Levi. Amar le, kavan planya. Ploni was kovea me. Lavi yadamai kamar le. Levi didn't know what he was talking about. What's a kovea? Some guy comes to him and says, so-and-so was kovea me. He says, what are you talking about? So asho be medrusha. Levi goes to the base medrusha and says, what's this guy talking about? What does kovea mean? So amar le, gazan amar l'ka. He's telling you that somebody stole from him. Dichsev, as the pasuk says, Hayikva Adam Elokim. Could a person steal from God? The pasuk in Malachi is talking about a case of people are bringing stolen karbanos. So Hashem is saying, you know, do I want these stolen karbanos? Let's finish the story, then I'll make a comment. Amalei Rava mi Barnish lo Ravashi. Rava mi Barnish said to Ravashi, Ihavi Hasam, if I would have been there, I would have had a simple way to find out what that guy was talking about. I didn't have to go to the base measures to find out. If I was there, Havi Aminuch, I would have said to him, Hechi Kavacha, oh, how was somebody Kovea you? But my Kavacha, with what was somebody Kovea you? But my Kavacha, why was that guy Kovea you? And I would have figured out, based on what he would have answered me, what koveya means. So I could have figured it out. So v'iyu savar, so why didn't Levi do that? Because he felt, milsa di isura karmelei. He thought it was like maybe some type of arias. Right? So he felt, well, he's going to be asking all these kashas in the middle of the public, and they're going to be answering, they're going to answer those questions there. So therefore, he didn't ask. That's another lush place where you see the chazal were interested in the language people talked. One of my favorite varts of all time, I heard b'shem the Chasam Sofer. I found part of it in the Margolis Hashas here from the Imre Emes. That there's a Gemara at the end of Masechet Nedarim. The last Gemara of Masechet Nedarim talks about Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. Stolen water is a sweeter. It talks about a married woman versus a single woman. The Gemara uses the Lashon of Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. Stolen water is a sweeter. And the Chasam Sofer says, Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku, Kaya Talmud Torah. Refers to Talmud Torah. Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. It's my Kesher, what do you mean stolen waters? What does Talmud Torah have to do with it? We know the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that one of the questions we're going to be asked is Kavati Itim La Torah. We Kaveya Itim. And Pasha, that means did you set aside time for Torah? Says the Chasam Sofer. I don't know how much of this is Chasam Sofer, how much of this is somebody else. Says the Chasam Sofer, Kavati Itim La Torah. What do we learn from the Pasuk of Malachi? Kaveya means to steal. Ganavti Itim La Torah. Did you steal time for Torah? During our regular Siddurim, fine, but did you go, when you weren't supposed to be learning, did you learn? When you're waiting for that elevator that's on floor 6 going to floor 85, and you're waiting for it to come down, in those 5 minutes, did you steal time for Torah? That's Kavati Itim La Torah, not just to set aside, but did you steal time for Torah when you were supposed to be doing something else? Says the Chasam Sofer, Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. Stolen waters, stolen Torah is sweetest, because when we're not supposed to be learning, and we dafka learn during that time, that gives us the most tana, the most satisfaction. When we stick in an extra Seder on a day that we have vacation, we get up. The whole concept of dafyomi at 6 in the morning is Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku, one might say. But again, this is Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku based on this Pasuk Malachi. So it's again, yeah, the Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku, Kovei Itim La Torah, and this Gemara, Hayikva Adam Elokim, that is a Lashon Geneva, it's a Lashon Gazela. So that's the Chasam Sofer, and part of it I saw is in the Imre Emes. Okay. Period. Amar Lake, you can always use that part at a Siyam. At a Siyam, just have it, any type of Siyam, it's a good thing to use. Says the Gemara, Lo have yadi Rabbanan, my Sirugin. Rabbanan didn't know what the word Sirugin meant. So Shamu Allah, Masa de Bei Rabbi, they heard Rebbe's maidservant say, the Chazatino Rabbanan Davi Aili Piski Piski, when she saw the rabbis going into Shir, in piecemeal, little by little. They didn't go in all at once, they come in on time, 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. Right, the Rashi explains here. They ain't in the chazan yachad. They're just going into the shir, you know, every, you know, one after another. So Daviala Piski Piski. So Amalu, she says to them, Atamasa Atamak Niknasim Sirugan Sirugan, why are you going in like that, skipping? So that's in the Lashon, Chazal learned, that's what Sirugin means. And that's what we know, like, by the Megillah, HaKorel Sirugin. If you read the Megillah, skipping around, that's what Sirugin means. They learned it from Amsa the Bei Rebbe. Lo Aviyah, the Rabbanan, my Chaluglugos. The Rabbanan did not know what Chaluglugos are. Yomachad, so one day, Shemuel Amsa the Bei Rebbe, again, this maidservant of Rebbe, who's quoted a few times in Shas, they heard her say, the Chazal who gave her to come a Vader Parpachine, she saw some person who was separating his herbs, his vegetables. If he was separating them because he didn't want to eat them, or he was just separating them. Until when are you going to be scattered your chaluglugos? So they learned that it's a type of vegetable, it's a type of herb. Final pasuk. They weren't second to final pasuk. They aren't sure what the pasuk means of salsala. I will twine it. I will turn it over, usaroma mecca, and you will be upraised. They didn't know what the word salsala means. Yom ha'chachem will amtad be rabbi. So one day they heard amtad be rabbi again. That was amris lo gavra. That had become a hapich basare. They saw somebody who was playing around with his hair and making it look nice. Amalei, she says to him, an matai etam salsala basarecha. How much are you going to play around with your hair? Delve into your hair and turn it over. So that's what the, like, by Yosef, misalso basairo, Chazal say. Same word. Misalso basairo, that he's delving and turning it over. So the Chazal darshan this on Torah. Salsala, delve into it and turn it over and have ba'amkus in it, usur mamekka, and then you'll be lifted up. Next, lo aviyah rabbanan mai v'tateya hashmeid. They didn't know what that pasuk means in Yeshayahu. Yom achad shemula amfi debi Rebbe. That was amra l'chaverta. One time they heard Rebbe's maidservant say to her friend, shkulei tatasi v'tiyata besa. Take a broom and sweep the house. Right, so they learned that that's what it means, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take a broom and sweep out all those that are giving him trouble.
So nobody else knew that those words meant a broom?
Nobody else, I guess. It seems like nobody else knew to have the gibshan in the pasuk. Right, it's unusual. That might be something deeper here. But the story is that they didn't know until Amtsa the Bei Rebbe, it was a hard word to translate.
But these are common household words.
Now it's common household words. Once we know it.
Only the maidservant of Rebbe knew that?
Well, that's when it was in a different language. Maybe this isn't they didn't know it. They knew Lashon HaKodesh, but this was like Vishla HaKodesh. It wasn't such a common word in those days. And just because we know that it's a broom, doesn't mean that in those days it was common to call that a broom. So that's what they learned it from Amtsa the Bei Rebbe. Right, people. I don't know, people use brooms. The Gemara talks about brooms. Right. Oh, maybe. Right. Okay. So people, we don't know what a washing machine is. Right. So we don't know what a. Lo aviyadi rabbanan my hashlech al Hashem yahavcha. What does it mean? The rabbanan weren't sure what the word hashlech means. Hashlech. I'm sorry. And the word yahavcha. Yahavcha. Throw upon Hashem your yahav. What is yahav? V'hu yichal kalalka, and he will sustain you. So Amar Rav Barachana, Yom Achad Aviyazulna Bahadi Hutaya. Rav Barachana says, one day I was traveling next to an Arab traveler, an Arab merchant. Have Darina Tuna. I was carrying a big load. Va'amarlin, he said to me, Shkol Yehivcha V'Shadi Agamloi. You know, take your bundle and put it on my camel. So they learn from there. They learn from there that Yahav means a bundle. It means throw your bundle on Hashem, throw your bundle on life. And always turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a lot of Mefarshim, a lot of the Bali Musa talk about this Gemara, but what the message of this Gemara? The message is somehow related to Bitachon. Sorry, related to Bitachon, but what they learned from the Arab merchant. They just saw one from the Kedusha Sion, one of the Baba Varebas, where the Kedusha Sion says that there are different professions in life that have more Yerushamayim in them than others. We mentioned in the past that the people who go out in the boats, right, they have a lot of Yerushamayim, because every second of the day they're dependent on the elements. So he quotes also that people, the Socharim, Hatrudim Biskayim, many peddlers who are always involved in their ASIC, they don't get a set salary. It's just based on whatever they sell. So they're very much aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them parnasa, because every second of the day that's totally on what it's totally on their sales. So every day they're looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, if you have sometimes Rabbanim HaYoshma Midyan Bari Yisrael, but he says, let's say you have the Rav of the town who's sitting at home. He doesn't travel around making a parnasa. The town pays him. So it's not as easy for him to realize, to have the bitachon that everything that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, that's the pshat of the Gemara. Lo aviyadi Rabbanon. My hashlech hashlema yahavcha. The Rabbanon that was sitting, that were getting a parnasa katsuv, didn't realize about the parnasa, about that you have to have a bitachon every second of the day. Until Ahutaya, a merchant comes and says, no, everything's fine, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shol yivchav shadi agamlai. to realize, even if somebody's getting a salary that's cuts of sitting at home, not worrying every day exactly how the sales are going to go, to realize every day a Kodesh Baruch Hu is coat save and maksiv a person's parnasa, like we said on in Maseches Beitza, and we always have to make sure that we have that attitude. Period. Next Mishnah. What's the shape of the shofar that you're supposed to use? So says the Mishnah. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah is going to talk about the shofars three times. There's a shofar we have on Rosh Hashanah. There's a shofar that we have on Yovel of Yom Kippur. And there's a shofar that we have on fast days, on Ta'anios. When the Maseches Ta'anios is coming up next, a lot of Maseches Ta'anios is all about the fast days they used to have when it didn't rain. So they used to blow shofars and chatzotzros on those days as well. So therefore, the Mishnah is going to talk about what type of shofar do you use on all these three types of days. So shofar of Rosh Hashanah. So shofar of Rosh Hashanah is shel Ya'el Pashut. The Tanakama holds, and the Mishnah that you use it of a goat, a straight shofar. It shouldn't be bent. Straight. Upiv mitzubezav, and it could have a golden piece plated by the mouth. V'shtei chatzotzros, not to prevent the kol. Your lips have to be touching the shofar, but around it could have gold plated to make it beautiful. And Rashi explains in the Beis Hamikdash on Rosh Hashanah when Nisu blew shofar, they also had chatzotzros on the two sides of the shofar. Shofar ma'arich v'chatzotzros makatzros. And on Rosh Hashanah, the shofar went long and the chatzotzros were shorter. Shemitzas ayam b'shofar, to signify that the ikur of the day is the shofar, and that is what is said. Longer. Ubetanios, and on fast days, what type of shofar you use? Bishal Zacharim Kafufin. On fast day, you use ones from rams that are bent. Upian Mitsuba Kesef, and the only one should have silver on them and not gold. Bishay Chatzotros Be'emsa. And the Chatzotros here are in the middle with the shofars on the outside. Shofar Mekatzev, and Chatzotros Marichos, and the trumpets are the ones that have a lengthy sound on Tanios. Shemitzayam Chatzotros, because that's the Iker. The chatzotzros, so the ikar chatzotzros are used to gather the people in order to get them to do tshuva, and therefore that's what's ma'arich on the fast days. Ends off the Tanakama, shava hayovel l'Rosh Hashanah l'tzkiyah v'l'brachas. On the yovel, according to the Tanakama, is the same thing as Rosh Hashanah. For tzkiyah, that means all halachas of tzkiyah, the type of the shofar that you use, and the halachas of the shofar, u'l'brachos, and also for the brachos. What does that mean? Rashi explains that on musuf, of Yom Kippur, of Yovel, we said the Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Malach Yezachrodes and Shofars are said on the Yovel of Rosh Hashanah. So an interesting historical question that the Sha'ar Misraim Balacha points out. He says, who made Shimon Esrei? Who made those brachas, those nine brachas? Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Anshei Knesset HaGedola were in Bayesheni. Right, Bayesheni, that's when they were. One second, says the Sha'ar Misraim Balacha. By Bayesheni, most Jews didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't have Yovel during Bayesheni. So when did they ever say these nine brachas on Yovel? Yovel finished already beforehand, and Anshei Knesset HaGedola only started during Bayesheni. So he has Sarach Ian, when did this come up? Unless you say they said in Midrabanan, or maybe there are some shitas that say there was Yovel during Bayesheni because some of every shevet came up. Either way, he has the Ha'ara wondering, you know, if Yovel wasn't Noeg anymore, you know, do we say, when did you ever have the brachas? Some of the halachas of Yovel would apply, well, the way the machlokas is, where the shofar is the defining element. But again, it might not be Yovel. Yovel might not be. So what do you need to be Yovel? But maybe there is no Yovel. Maybe there is no Yovel here. Sorry? No? No, I don't think so. Second sheet, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah Token, Mishal Zacharim, Ubi Yovel, Mishal Ye'elim. Rabbi Yehuda argues that on Rosh Hashanah, first of all, he holds that Rosh Hashanah and Yovel are different than each other, arguing with the Tanakama, and number two, he has the opposite shita. Rabbi Yehuda said that on Rosh Hashanah it should be bent of a zachar, and a yovel should be straight. Rabbi Levi, a third shita. Mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah overall, Yom Kippur and Bekfufin. Rabbi Levi said that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur they have to be bent. B'shal kol Hashanah b'pshutin, and the rest of the year, meaning on a fast day, it has to be straight. V'hatznan shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yal Pashut. I, the Tanakama in the Mishnah says that the Rosh Hashanah shofar has to be straight. How could Rabbi Levi said it should be bent? Who da amarki aitana? Because he says like the father, he holds like the other opinion. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says Rosh Hashanah you talk mishal zacharim kfufin. On Rosh Hashanah you blow with bent ones. Ubi yovel mishal yelim. So Levi holds like Rabbi Yehuda that on Rosh Hashanah you should use a bent shofar. But Levi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So why doesn't he just say that love is like Rabbi Yehuda? What does he have to make a separate statement that it should be bent. So yeah, Rabbi Hilchos Rabbi Yehuda. No, because if you would have said Hilchos like Rabbi Yehuda, have mina filsha yovel nami Rabbi Yehuda. I would have thought that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda across the board, and Rabbi Yehuda himself is machalik between the shofar of Rosh Hashanah and of Yovel, and Levi doesn't go that far. Kamashma, that's why he has to say specifically the halacha of Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is both bent against Rabbi Yehuda, who is machalik between the two. So if you do the math, there are three different shitas about which shofars you're supposed to use on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur and on fast days. But my kamifligi, but at root, what's the machlokas? Whether you're supposed to use a straight shofar or a bent shofar? So machlokas is marsav or Rosh Hashanah kama dekayif inish daite tfei mali, and the way Rashi explains the Gemara. And this is one of the big rayas that I mentioned before, that shofar is a form of tefillah. The shape of the shofar mirrors how we're supposed to be, the shape that we're supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah. According to the one who says that the shofar should be bent, because he's saying that the more bent a person is in his da'as on Rosh Hashanah, tfei mali, it's better. Ubi Yom Kippur and Yovel, kama depashit inish daite tfei mali. The more straight a person is, the person is getting straight up with his eyes to Shemayim, that's better. That's one opinion. Umar Savar, and the other opinion says, no, but Rosh Hashanah, kama depashit inish daite tfei mali, on Rosh Hashanah, the more straight we are, knowing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is our king, we hold ourselves high, and know that he's the king, that's better. Ubitanios, and on fast days, kama dekai finish daiti tfeimali. And on fast days, the more bent the person is tfeimali. But either way, as Rashi here says, it's all about the parallel to tefillah, another proof that shofar is a form of tefillah. Okay, we'll stop here. A lot to say every day for the rest of the Masechta, basically, there's a lot to say. And Hashem, we will continue. Okay, then we wish that today will be the last time Aser Batavius will be a tzom, as we learned last week. These fast days will turn into Yomim Tovim and Moadim, and that's what we look forward to. B'meir of Yomim. How are you doing?